We're joined today with Marshall County Emergency Management Coordinator Kim Elder as we got some severe weather that we dealt with over the weekend, but potentially some severe weather coming up today and tomorrow as well. So, Kim, first, I know that there's some issues or there's some work being done on sirens. Can you just let everybody know what's going on with the tornado sirens across Marshall County?
Yeah, I sure can. So if everybody's been kind of following the Board of Supervisors and different meetings and information that I've been putting out over the last couple of years, we went for a grant through FEMA. It's a hazard mitigation grant. And we received almost $400,000 put towards warning sirens and what we call the backbone or the communication part of the siren. So that's what gets installed into the communication center, the 911 center, and my office so that we can activate the sirens. So we, of course, like everything grant-wise, it kind of moves a little slow, and then once it picks up, it really gets going. And, well, we received the siren equipment over the winter, but in the wintertime, they could not put it in place. So over the last 3.5 weeks, we had the vendor come up with their install crew, and let's see, there's 10 sirens. So those were installed as far as the poles were put up, the siren equipment were put on them, and then the 3 digipeters, which are also poles, but they have communication equipment on the top of them. They're like an antenna that helps the rest of the sirens talk. And those were all installed and ready for the electrician. So the electrician is on our side. So the county side, the other jurisdictions that receive sirens, had to line up electricians and get the electricity ran from their area, wherever that might be, to the siren. So that is the step we're in now. We had some severe weather, like you said, and luckily not too bad here in Marshall County, but we did have a lot of rain. We had a lot of lightning, so that delayed things just a little bit, a couple of days here, a couple of days there. We're still waiting on several of the sites to get electricity to them because of the rain, basically. We want to make sure that, you know, everyone and every step is done safely. So we are waiting on probably about half of those 13 sites to still get their electricity run. Once that electrical is run, it's inspected by a state inspector and okayed for the siren crew to come back up and do some internal testing. So they'll do testing just in that siren and just in that site. Making sure that everything's working correctly, electrical, you know, any mechanical stuff, and then give the okay to the next crew. So it's step by step. And the next crew then hopefully is our final step, which is connecting all of those sirens back into what we call our legacy system, which is the older sirens that are still in place, still working out there. There's several of those. I know I've got questions because I put out some information. What's the legacy sirens? They're the ones that were in your community before this project started, and they were not taken out. There were 2 sirens, State Center and Liscomb, that had legacy sirens that actually came out for the new siren to go in. But otherwise, the other communities, if you had a siren, that's a legacy siren and it remained. So once all of that, the new sirens, the new equipment is tied into the old because we want both to work together, then we will test that system. We'll have our new communication system in place also with that legacy communication system. And there's a tie-in that has to happen, and that's more techie than I know what to tell you because that's not my thing. But I know that they all have to talk together. They all have to work. When the communication center gets a tornado warning, they will, you know, push the buttons they need to push, which are actually touchscreen type buttons, and everything should work as it did before, just with new sirens added. So it's kind of a step-by-step process. I know it was confusing, but I wanted to get information out there over the last couple of weeks. Now, you may see a siren going up in your community. It may, you know, it's a new one, but it's not working yet. I just didn't want people to rely on those outdoor warning systems for their only mode of warning for a tornado.
Yeah, yeah, and I saw a couple people reached out and said, why don't they have working sirens before severe weather? And right. I said, no, we still have working sirens. These are all just the new ones that they're trying to add. So that is out there. Now let's talk if, in case those sirens do go off, you're at home, you know, what should people do in case they hear those sirens and a tornado potentially is coming?
Yeah, so the only reason we sound sirens are for a test, which we do on Tuesdays at 9 o'clock, unless there's impending bad weather. or a tornado warning. So a warning is when there's a tornado actually spotted in your vicinity, in your jurisdiction, or a radar-indicated tornado. So those are the warning things that we would set them off for. If those go off, just remember that the sirens are an outdoor warning system, even though a lot of people say, you know, well, I can hear it in my house, or I can hear it in my garage, I can hear it, you know, wherever they're inside. Understood that that can happen. They are very loud, but they're intended to warn those people that are outside, maybe not with as many means as those inside who get other types of warning. So there are other options out there. There's Alert Iowa, which is an easy free sign up. Marshall County and actually most of the counties in the state offer that. So you can just Google Alert Iowa, sign up. Comes right to your landline phone, your email, or your cell phone, and or, I should say, because you can have all of those activated. So it's a really good system, and you can pick what warnings you want on there. NOAA weather radios, they're a great indoor. I know they seem like antiquated, but they are a really good, cheap, reliable little radio. So just a $30-$35 that you can get a radio, and it will alert off of the Marshalltown antenna if there's a warning in that area. So easy there. It's a real basic setup, but again, I'm available for help on that. And there's so many different apps and, you know, pay and free apps that you can have on your phone. So that is something that people can look at. And then always listen to your local media, you know, KFJB, all the others out there that are going to be telling you what's going on, the television where they're going to be showing the radar. Those are great things to pay attention to. But if you do get a warning in your area, go to the lowest, most inner part of the building that you're in. So you want to get as low as you can and as many walls between you and the outside as possible. So centrally located rooms, if you don't have a basement, a lot of times a bathroom or a closet where there's no windows, but there's a lot of walls between you and the outside, or into a basement, and again, as many walls between you and the outside as possible. So we try to get, you know, as far down and between things as we can, just because the more things that are between you and the outside, the better.
I do want to say you should listen to Kix, our sister station, Kix 101.1 on the FM for any severe weather. I know Brandon and that team over there does a really good job of constantly updating severe weather. When things change, they'll dump out of a song and go right into a weather update. So not that KFJB does a bad job, but I would listen to Kix between the two there.
That sounds good. Yeah. Yep. Because they've got somebody there and doing the disc jockeying and doing all that stuff. That's a good point. You've got somebody there that's really going to cut into there. So, yeah, it's nice to have that sister station. So it's local. You guys know what's going on. You keep on top of it, and we really appreciate that.
Yeah, and what would you say if somebody was kind of caught maybe out driving? Maybe they're driving between Ames and Marshalltown, and, oh, now we get a severe weather update. There's a tornado spotted in the area. You're kind of out in the middle of nowhere there if you're driving on the highway.
Yeah, and that can be a scary situation. They always say don't try to outrun the tornado. If you know what direction it's going and you're going the opposite direction, you know, keep going the direction you're going, but be aware that there could be more tornadoes or bad storms in the area. It may not just be the one that you're hearing about. We all know that they can pop off here and there in a storm, and new ones can form, so be careful with that. If you know that it's impending, it's close to you, you're not going to be able to get away from it, there's a couple of different options. If you can get into a lower place that is safe, we don't want you in a ditch that's running with deep water, obviously. We don't want you in a culvert, that's not safe. But if you can get to a lower place, that's great. If you can get pulled off to the, an exit somewhere where there's a store or somewhere that you can get into a safer place, that's a good option. You absolutely can't get somewhere else. Get off as far off the road as you can and safely. Get as low as you can in that vehicle. Sometimes you just don't have another choice. I know that I talked to several, and one of them was Chief Tupper. When the tornado hit Marshalltown, it was closer than he thought, and he rode it out, unfortunately, in his vehicle. But fortunately, he was okay. But, you know, it can toss him out of a vehicle. It's just like a toy to a tornado. So if you're going to have to ride it out in your vehicle, make sure that you're safety belt is hooked, and you're absolutely just going to have to hunker as low as you can to get away from those windows. Cover up if you can. Sometimes there's not a better choice.
Yeah, and I think now might be a good time to also talk about, you know, we talked a lot leading into the winter about those winter safety kits in your car. It kind of changes a little bit with the summer here, spring and summer. What maybe should we have in our car for a safety emergency kit?
Yeah, a lot of the same things, except for, you know, you're not going to need your warmer layers and stuff. But I always say keep that blanket in there, because like I was just talking about getting low in your car, maybe you can grab that blanket, cover up, cover your child up. Maybe they're in their car seat, you know, cover that child up so that the blowing debris, glass, whatever it might be, can protect them. I still say keep some water in there, although we have to watch the heat if it's in, you know, anything that can release any toxins. We don't want that to happen with the plastics. But your basics in there, you know, I always say your kind of good Boy Scout things that you need, your first aid kit, things like that. Red Cross has an amazing list of different types of, I call them to-go kits or backpack kits that you can put in your car. You can make one for your tornado safe area. You know, people that have kids, they always want a new backpack every year. Use that old backpack and use that for your quick to-go kit or for their quick to-go kit. So whether you're going to your tornado safe place or whether you're evacuating your home for whatever reason it might be, it's a quick grab and go. A lot of those things are the very same, but there's so many different great examples of those, and tailor them to your needs. If you have any special needs, and those can be anything from, you know, medication, special needs that you use every day, and it can be like baby items, things like that are special needs because you might not be able to get a hold of those right away. Tuck a few of those in there too, because it's just one more thing that you're not going to have to worry about if you have damages or if you're out there, you know, on the road and you have some trouble during a storm. So, yeah, it's good to just review those. If you have an old kit, make sure you go through it, update some things in there, things like bandages and, you know, anything that might get worn out or expired, that kind of thing, water, food. So make sure that you're switching that out. But don't make your kit so big that you can't grab it and go somewhere. Make it the essentials.
Okay. Make it, keep it reasonable there so we can grab it and go if needed. So we're joined today with Kim Elder. She's the Marshall County Emergency Management Coordinator. We talked tornadoes. You know, we talked about the sirens getting put in, some different ways to get those alerts, what you should do if your tornado is near you. Is there anything else about severe weather that we should talk about here when we're kind of in the middle of severe weather season?
Yeah, you know, just remember that tornadoes are not the worst thing or the only thing. We've seen the derechos. We have a couple of those come through in my career. The last one was tremendously destructive. So high winds, even if it's not a derecho, they're predicting some high winds with the next few storms. And hail that is wind-driven is very destructive and very dangerous. So remember, you know, high winds, we don't set off those tornado sirens, but you will get some high wind warnings if you're signed up for those. You will get severe thunderstorm warnings. And so be aware and be paying attention to what is going on. Things can change fairly quickly. You can go from a sunny day or just a kind of an overcast day like we've got today to some severe storms fairly quickly, and they can move fairly quickly. So just stay on top of that. So, you know, hail is dangerous. Lightning, if you hear thunder roaring, they say, hear the roar, go indoors. Definitely, if it's thundering and you can hear it, lightning is close enough that you can be struck by lightning. You can be hurt or killed by lightning. So that's very dangerous. And then, yeah, there's just so many different things that can be in combination with a storm. They can change very quickly. So just always stay on top of what's going on.
Yeah, I think it's Alert Iowa, right, is the best kind of app to download?
Yeah, it's Alert Iowa is your sign up online, and it's really simple. When you get on there, it's just name, address, area that you want to be covered for the alerts that they're sending out, and then it gives you some options. So if you don't want every thunderstorm watch, you won't get every thunderstorm watch. But if you know, the warnings, those are the important things. Sign up for the warnings. There is an option to do what's called Smart 911 on there. I always tell people in Marshall County, we don't use that information at our 911 center. So there's no sense in going through the big, long, there's a lot of different items to fill out on that. It's not necessary. So just fill out the Alert Iowa information for your alerts, and really easy, and it's free. We can send out local alerts too. So if your city wants me to put out information on a boil water or something that's local, maybe a missing person, we can put that out across that too. So it's very user friendly for the locals, not just a state driven item. So
is there anything else, Kim, that we've missed here with severe weather and how to get those updates?
I think probably the last thing is something we haven't seen in a while due to the drought is flooding. So just be aware that flash flooding can happen very quickly. That's why flash. We get a large thunderstorm with a lot of heavy rain upstream from somewhere, and you can get a flash flood in a creek or a river fairly quickly. Somewhere that might be dry may not be dry very long. You can get a wall of water coming. And don't get out into floodwaters. So if you've got that aerial flooding, what we call it, just it's standing in an area, it looks like it can still have a current underneath that still false sense of security that you're seeing on top. It looks like it's a puddle, like it's, you know, a deep puddle, but it may have a very good, strong current underneath. So just don't get out in that floodwater. Could be culverts washed out, roads gone. You could run off into a ditch, and it's just very dangerous. Whether you're walking or driving, it can float a car. So just be very careful.
Yeah, you have no idea what's in that water either, so don't want to get into it. I think we've kind of covered it all here on severe weather. Again, that best place to go to get some of those alerts is Alert Iowa, and you can really kind of make it specific to our area and what you want to get alerts for. So, Kim, I appreciate you stopping by today and letting us know what we need to do here in case of severe weather. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Zach.